All right, we're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. If everyone could please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you could please do the roll call.
Trustee Dye.
Here.
Trustee Howard.
Here.
Trustee Quiatek.
Here.
Trustee Lloyd.
Here.
Trustee Labai.
Here.
Trustee Lopoli.
Here.
Great, thank you. And any requests for public participation?
No requests.
Great, thank you. With that, we'll go to the consent agenda. Does anybody have an item they would like to pull and discuss? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Consent agenda passes. Information only. The agreements and the surplus donations are in your book. So any questions, feel free to ask. And with that, I'll turn it over to Tom.
Okay, thank you. We're going to kick it off with some recognition of our LEAD Academy and our Director of Learning and Development, Rachel Dougherty, will take that away.
I'm Rachel Dougherty, Director of...
I'm going to stand up the microphone.
I'm Rachel Dougherty, Director of Learning and Development, and one of the initiatives in our department is the LEAD Academy. Stands for Leadership, Exploration, and Development. And it is a year-long cohort requiring a lot of work online, in-person sessions, and a final capstone project, which I have made into a group project, so you can feel sorry for them having to work in group projects. So they're just going to stand, say their name and what department they're in.
Let me help.
Hi, my name is Sam Sher, and I'm with the Human Resources Department.
Hi, I'm Amanda Fry. I'm with the School of Nursing.
Hello, I'm B. Simpkins. I'm from the School of Ed.
Hi, I'm Susanna Muhammad from School of Biological and Physical Sciences.
Hi, my name is Ellie Baker, and I'm with Marketing and Communication.
Hello, my name is Miguel Rivera, and I'm in the Student Development Department.
Hi, my name is Guy Fiore. I am at the Falcon Hope Center.
Hey, everybody. I'm Gabriel Fletches. I'm with the IT Department.
Hi, my name is Virginia North. I'm with the Falcon Hope Center.
Hello, I'm Jim Gustafson. I'm from Career Services.
I am Teresa Littlebird, and I am with the College of Arts and Sciences.
Hello, I'm Cody Cutrio, and I'm with the Campus Safety Department.
My favorite thing about the LEAD Academy is, as you can tell, we have a very broad representation from the college. And so that in and of itself is a great learning opportunity, not only for them, but for me as well, to see what's going on across the college and get those different perspectives. So thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Well, it's been, I'm looking at my list of things since last board meeting, and wow, it's been busy. We had a great homecoming event this year. Which has become a real tradition that's growing and growing each year. Happy to report our teams all competed well during that festivity. I went to the University and College Safety Summit at UCF. Campus safety is, you know, becoming a bigger and bigger priority from the state's perspective. Frankly, I feel like sometimes we're always ahead of the curve as we've been doing a lot of things along the safety line for several years. Participated in the Volusia Flagler Heart Walk, and we had the most walkers of any organization that came there, and we came in second in funds raised. So thank you to the Daytona State College community for being involved in the Heart Walk. I had a great visit with Dr. Butler, and I went to see the Dassault Falcon Jet RMO, repair maintenance operation. I got that right there, Randy?
Got it.
Yeah. And it was just, as we are embarking in an airframe power plant program, it was amazing to see this facility. I mean, state of the art. it's the kind of facility that hopefully with our program launching and, of course, with partnering with Embry-Riddle, that we'll be able to attract something like that right here at our own airport where they can fix their own airplanes and bring a company that does that kind of work. So it was a pretty impressive. Their one business jet was $800 million. And Dr. Butler pointed out the one jet that they were working on. I guess to keep your jet in the air, you got to do a pretty major overhaul every 8 years. And he's like, yo, this is well over $1 million maintenance check-in. I said, well, I guess if you can afford $800 million for a plane, $1 million is not a bad deal. Kind of like an oil change for us, right? But anyhow, it was fascinating to see that the facility was state-of-the-art, very clean. I saw the employees there and excited about launching our program. I want to thank everyone, again, that participated in the gala this year. Again, Karen and I certainly are humbled by the recognition, and it was. Hope you all had a great night. We had a great night. It was. And Costa, thank you. He had a last-minute request for some calamari and tomato sauce, and he came through for me on that. So, we've had our meetings with the Flagler delegation and Volusia. Thank you, Amy, for covering for me at Volusia delegation meeting. Went to Tallahassee and had meetings regarding our requests and everything's being received favorably, and we'll continue to do those requests and advocacy. Attended the Aura Arrow ribbon cutting. That was another organization that we were involved with at Daytona State to help recruit to the area. So they did open their kind of headquarters spot, I guess, with plans to open up a bigger manufacturing facility. So good to see, you know, again, our role in the economic development part of it. And as I've been keeping the board apprised and the rest of the community, our soccer teams are doing quite well. And thanks, Bob, for attending last night's game here at home. We're hosting the men's national tournament, so we have there's 12 teams. We're one of them. So 11 teams from literally all over the country, from New York to Kansas to Arizona, Texas, are here. And our women are, on that road for a defending championship, a national title. And they won yesterday, which got them out of pool play, which puts them in the Final Four. And the men took us to the wire, didn't they, Bob? But they got it done.
My pulse is just now coming back to
normal. Yeah, I'm still twitching a little bit, but they won a real exciting game, 4-3. And for the men, it's the first they've been to the national tournament. This is our fifth time since 2016 making the national tournament, but this is the first time we've gotten out of pool play. So the first time we're in the Final Four. How cool is that to be a Falcon with both my Lady Falcons and my Men Falcons in the Final Four of a national tournament? Doesn't happen every day. So that's been exciting. In case I haven't kept anyone up on that.
No, it had not heard.
Yeah. We had our Lemron Speaker Series that I referred to, which, again, was great to have an alumni, Eric Libby. And when he tells the story how he developed the job, it was kind of comical because he was helping his grandmother do some yard work, and she lives on a golf course, and people were literally pulling over with their cart saying, hey, can you do some of this at my house? And can you do – and over time he started building and he's like, man, this is – after like the fifth time he says it kind of dawned on him. He goes, I might have a business here. So he created this To-Do Dudes business, and so pretty inspiring story there. So we hosted them yesterday. And some really big news on the academic front. I was up in Crawfordsville, Florida, which is a very little town, about 20 minutes south of Tallahassee. I almost roped Kelly into coming with me, but I was able to spare her the trip. But I was able to read into the proposal statement from Jeff Fiesel. We were approved for our... Did we confirm, is it 14 or 15? 14? Okay. our 14th bachelor's degree. So we now have a BS degree in radiologic and imaging sciences. So we're excited about that. You know, the night before, it's just been a fast and furious semester. So I pulled up the board members, state board, just to do some homework on their background. And sure enough, someone on the board's a MD, and another one sells medical equipment. So I'm like, oh, great. And if they start quizzing me on this proposal, I got to know a little bit more than the surface. So I'm researching about, you know, imaging, radiological imaging sciences. I didn't get to the hotel till 10:30 that night. And so, you know, at midnight, I'm getting up to speed on what it means to do all that stuff. So anyway, when I did the proposal, the chair says, well, we happen to have a couple experts here, so they have to say, and I'm like, oh boy, here we go. And they both were like, I'm really glad to see Daytona State bringing this forward. We need this. We need this kind of program, and they slam dunked it for me, and it was approved unanimously. So it was really, really kind of neat. I want to thank Halifax Health for again contributing to $1 million to the Line grant again this year. So we're going to have that match to help, as we saw from some of our students, the success of our nursing program. And so thank you. That investment is paying dividends. So we certainly like that. And I'm going to conclude with a little bit of sad news that unfortunately, but we're also supportive of Amy Locklear is going to be leaving us for I guess early retirement and helping do some family things. So I just want to say, you know, Amy, you know, thank you for I hired Amy 12 years ago. So it's definitely a little sad, you know. I pretended to do her job for 6 months, and at the time, Dr. Eaton says, no, you need to hire someone who knows what they're doing. So Amy, thank you. We've accomplished the collective we, but, you know, a lot of new, I mean, I think of the new programs, the new initiatives, the buildings, and all of that stuff, and you've been a great leader for the college and a colleague. So. And I did. I got my hands on this. This is something we publish every year, and it's a great cheat sheet for you all. If you want to see all the programs we offer, academically support programs, it's a view book. It's something we mail to prospective students. So it's a great piece that kind of gives you a good overall brush of the college. So for some nighttime reading, it'll be good there for you. And with that, that will conclude my report.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Marty Hayden. On to the finances. Okay, Marty.
Good afternoon. It's never easy to follow Dr. Lovasso and departure of Dr. Locklear. But I'll do my best here. So good afternoon. We're going to jump right in with the financial report for October 31st, 2025. As you can see, we've now collected $17.9 million, or 56% of our tuition and fee revenue. We've collected $18.2 million, or 28% of our state revenues, $2.1 million, or 29% of our other revenue sources, and all $7.7 million, or 100% of our board-approved transfers that were approved with part of the budget back in June. So in total, the college has now collected $45.9 million, or 41% of our total operational budget, which is the $111.6 million. A third of the way through the fiscal year, 33%, 41% of the collections is a good place to be, right on track. Moving ahead to our expenditures, budget versus actual, you can see we've now expended $22.5 million, or 27% of our personnel budget. We've obligated $17.5 million, or 68% of our current expenses. Of that amount, $9.8 million has actually been expended, and the other $7.7 million is still encumbered. We've obligated $1.1 million of our capital outlay budget. That's 30%. And of that amount, just under $500,000 has been expended through October 31st, and the remaining $587,000 is still encumbered. So in total, on the expenditure side, we've now obligated $41.1 million, or 37% of our operational budget. And if you peel away those encumbrances and just look at expenditures, we come up with the $32.8 million has been expended year-to-date, or 29% of the budget. So doing well from an expenditure standpoint as well at the at this juncture of the fiscal year. This slide shows our carry forward funds, our fund balance. We started the year with $23.6 million roughly. State required reserve is the $6.7 million, 5%. Board designated reserve is the $1.6 million. We have unallocated reserves of $12.5 million roughly. And then our year-end encumbrances and rollovers and reserves for other required purposes is the $2.7 million. So our net projected fund balance through October 31st is $20.6 million, or nearly 30%. Okay, as we look into the revenue received year-over-year, budget to actual, you can see we've now collected 41% of our revenue through October 31st. At the same juncture last year, we were at 38%, so we're doing a little bit better on our revenue collections this fiscal year. And then flipping over to our three-year analysis of student tuition and fees. Do want to spend a minute on this one just to let you know that due to timing of the board meetings this year and last year, we have some timing differences on the revenue. So it's 25-26. Although it's been a very good year, enrollment is up. It's not quite up 24% like if you were to do the math between the $18 million collected and the $14.5 million. You would come up to roughly $3.5 million or 24%. So going back to last year, with a board meeting in November was very early, and we had a cutoff point for our board reports around October 28th is when we cut them off so that we could get them submitted on time. And at that point, spring registration was just opening, so none of the spring registration revenue in 24-25 was included in those numbers there. Whereas this year, with the board meeting being pushed a little further out this month, we've got all of our spring registration through October 31st, 5 days. It opened up on October 27th. So a full 5 days of spring registration revenue is in the numbers for the 25-26 fiscal year, giving it a nice boost. So that's the reason it's a little bit skewed this month. It'll even out as we move forward. In my next report in January, we should see it level off a bit.
What do you think the actual?
That's a good question. The blended is probably 7% or so, I would say. Yeah, fall, we landed in a good place around 6.5. And I know spring is up, just not up quite as much as fall, maybe 3-4%. So, yeah, it's probably, to blended, I'd say 7-8%.
Still outperforming.
Outperformer, certainly. Yeah, just not 24%. Good. Okay. So we'll move over to our expenditures, budget to actual year over year. Again, similar analysis as in the revenues. We see our personnel. We've expended 27% through October. Last year, we expended 28% of the personnel budget. Current expenses, we've obligated 68% of the current expense budget this year versus 72% through October last year. And then capital outlay, we've now obligated 30% of the capital outlay budget, and it was at 26% last year. So very consistent, even our spending habits year over year in those categories. All right, turning it over to Fund 7. This is our major funding sources within Fund 7, our capital projects, what we have available. I'm going to draw a little attention. I know I usually go by this slide pretty quick because we have a summary slide that that sums it up good. But if you go down and look at the capital outlay and debt service, I just wanted to highlight it because it's an item coming up when Alan does his board agenda items. We're going to ask the board for, I think, the first time in my 18 years being here, first time ever, to maybe tap into that funding source. So it's, over time, it's grown and grown, and we're at about a $4.5 million balance. These funds come to each of the state colleges through the motor vehicle tag sales proceeds. We all get a piece each year, so that pot has grown over time. But we now have a good plan for it, and we did what the state has asked us to do in order to utilize those funds. Again, Alan will bring this item to your attention next, but just wanted to draw a little attention to the balance and what we're looking to do there with maybe some of the $4.5 million. All right, so the summary of that last slide is here. Starting the year with about $35.5 million in our Fund 7 reserves. We've now brought in another $1.6 million roughly, and we've obligated $14.2 million, of which about $11.2 million has been expended already, and the other $3 million is currently encumbered. So through October 31st, we were at about $22.9 million fund balance within Fund 7, and of that 22.9, we have $10.3 million committed, and uncommitted is the $12.5 million remaining. So still have that $12.5 million available for other projects in the future. Okay, moving on to our active projects. There are many, as we've seen through this fiscal year and last fiscal year. A lot of these are carryovers, so it's a two-pager. We've now got 20 active major projects at an estimated cost of $68.9 million. The one new addition from the last board meeting is the one there at the bottom, our Gale Lemron Athletic Center renovation, doing a remodel there in the gym and so forth, pretty extensive. So that one's been added with an expected completion date of July of 26. And a couple have dropped off, which is a good thing. I mean, that means we've completed a couple projects this fiscal year, and that would be the Gale Lemron Student Center Freshens Cafe. That's our new dining service, which has gone over very well. That was completed last month, or 2 months ago in September. And then good to see we finally got all the Hurricane Milton related repairs done. We've submitted them to our insurance carrier, got reimbursements for the vast majority of those for those expenses that we have to front as a college, and then we submit for reimbursement. So we're essentially made whole there, and that project is closed out. Okay, that concludes the financial report. I'll go over any questions or comments on that piece. Okay. So moving on, it's a pretty big month and time of the year for finance. The next item I have is an informational item. It's our annual financial report. This in the finance department is really our pride and joy of the year. So as Trustee Dye would say, for a bunch of boring accountants, this is it. This is
what do you mean?
I'll get my opportunity. That's okay. Go ahead.
This is what we get excited about. It's about yay thick when it's all said and done. It continues to grow each year. A lot of kudos to Tina Myers, my controller, sitting in the back, and our staff all throughout finance that really helped bring this package together. It's no easy feat. More and more GASB rules, regulations, just things to think about and add to the report, but never more time to complete the report, right? Still an August 15th deadline up to the state. With other deadlines right behind it, right at the end through September thereabouts, or the end of August. So we've got everything all submitted. It was a challenge this year; just had a lot of moving parts, but it's up in their hands. We feel good about it. This is the unaudited version. That we always bring it this time of year to the board, but let it be known that auditors have started and started making the requests. So we do have it in progress. They're not quite on site, but doing some work remote as they juggle their schedule and other jobs in the community. So just a quick little overview, some highlights on the AFR. From an operating, non-operating revenue standpoint, we had a nice little increase in our student tuition and fees, which increased about $2.7 million. Again, it helps when you're up in enrollment. Keep in mind, this is 24-25, so last fiscal year compared to the year before, 23-24. That's the two we're comparing here. So enrollment during that period, as reported to the state, was about 10% from 24-25 compared to 23-24. So that $2.7 million is kind of a direct correlation there. We got $2 million more in state non-capital appropriations. This was the non-recurring special projects. You'll remember we got some EMS equipment, auto collision program at the ATC, and some that made up that particular legislative request and non-recurring projects. So that was the increase in that revenue source. And then lastly, federal and state student financial aid, big increase there. Again, when you have influx in enrollment, financial aid's right behind it, right? So there you have it, $7.3 million passed through as federal and state student financial aid as another revenue source. And then looking down at your operating expenses, you know, it's harder and harder to find cost savings these days, right? Everything's, utilities, everything, everywhere you look, costs are going up, not down. So it's always nice when you have an area that's gone down. For us, it was in the personal services category, but it was mainly due to the decrease in our pension expense, which is all driven by the state, their actuaries, and those of you that keep up with the market know that last year we had a pretty good it was pretty good returns in the investments in the market for the FRS, meaning when investments do better, less of a liability to the college, right? So that therefore our expense comes down, our liabilities come down, and we report it at that snapshot in time, and that's what we're seeing here. So quite a bit of swing, you know, it swings all over each year, as I think I kind of point out, but this year it was to our benefit. It swung the right way. All right. Here's a look at, just in graph form, the red is the 24-25 fiscal year compared to the year before. The blue is the 23-24. It's the item set, the first one there, student tuition and fees, is the one I pointed out. It's the primary increase, about a 6.6% increase there. And that's a net number. If you do it gross, it's even larger, but it's net of scholarships, and that's how it has to be reported for government accounting standards there. So that takes care of the operating revenues, and then I wanted to show you non-operating revenues. And you can see at the bottom there is the overall $112.6 million compared to $106.8 million. So we had a roughly $5.9 million or 5.5% increase in non-operating revenues across the board there. And the major categories, again, are what I pointed out, your state non-capital appropriations for those non-recurring projects. And then number two there is the federal and state student financial aid with the big influx in aid. Okay, moving over to our expenditures, operating expenses. You can see again at the bottom, total operating expenses, $154 million roughly, compared to the prior year of $143 million. So, personnel services, it was the one that went down. That was the one I highlighted. And then, of course, we had a series of them that went up. The major ones, scholarship and waivers, again, kind of goes hand in hand with what we talked about with enrollment. And then materials and supplies, we had a big spike of roughly $6 million. That's mainly just due to the vast volume of deferred maintenance projects. What else did we have? Hurricane Milton, those repairs ran through that category. So anything that's not capitalized but is non-capital, which is a lot of our Fund 7 facilities maintenance projects, would be captured in that. And keep in mind, the AFR is not just the Fund 1 operating fund. It's all funds of the college meshed together to one reporting entity. So that's why it's all picked up there in these numbers. Okay, and then on to comparison of our assets and liabilities, and then net position, which is our equity, essentially. You can see the charts there, very steady from an asset standpoint. Liabilities have come down. You know, it's about a, let's see, about a $4.6 million decrease or almost 7% reduction in liabilities. Again, the heavy hitter there is the reduction in the pension liability. When the expense gets better, the liability comes down as well. So that's the big piece there. Actually, $3.8 million of that $4.6 million is related to the pension, the decrease in the pension liability. And then from a total net position standpoint, you can see here, we're always glad to see this number increase. It kind of gives you the total net position or equity of the college, right, over time. When it continues to grow, that's a good sign. The prior year, we were at $242 million. This year, we're up to $251 million, so about a $9 million or 3.7% increase in our total net position equity for the college. So that just, you know, essentially meaning revenues came in stronger over expenses. We're able to put the rest into net position or equity. So, again, good year for the college. It takes a lot to get there with the AFR and get to that final report, but we're always proud to get there in the end and cross the finish line. And this is the product that you see in your packets of all that hard work by the team. So that's the AFR, and that's just an informational item for the board.
Can I set the record straight? I called you bean counters. I didn't call you boring accountants.
Affectionately called you bean counter.
So noted. All right. Next item is our payments over $50,000. We have 2 months worth. The first one is for the month of September, and then the next one is for October. Again, ordinary business, just items that hit the $50,000 threshold, and whether paid by check, ACH, or wire, they're included on this report for information. All right. Our next item is a board action item. You'll recall each year we are required to bring our tuition exemption and waivers report that is submitted to the state to the board for formal approval. That is what this is. It's already been submitted because it has to be submitted by about mid-October. But we do bring it to the board. I will point out a few items. Overall, you can see the total fee exemption and waiver amount is basically $8.2 million there at the far bottom right. That's an increase of about $1.2 million from prior year's report or up about 17%. The big players that make up that increase, as we typically see, is our dual enrollment category. Okay, so that $4 million is up about $500,000 from the prior year. However, dual enrollment itself was up year over year. So we had about a 10.5% increase in actual enrollment in DE. So the $500,000 kind of goes hand in hand with what we see from a student perspective. The next one down is our apprenticeship. That category was up about $180,000. And then the last one I highlighted was the homeless waiver. You can see about mid-page, the $528,000. That was up about $288,000. The major reason there is the regulation there, the statute kind of loosened up a little bit and gave the ability to apply one time. And essentially, once the homeless waiver is applied, there's no reason to recertify anymore on an annual basis. So apply once and you get that waiver for the duration, making it much easier, but also driving up the numbers, I believe. But these are all authorized by Florida statute, and we do it routinely. They go through the regular process, are vetted, and applied only if they meet the criteria. So we feel like it's a representative number. If you go back to years where the college was at similar enrollment levels. This is about where we were back in, you know, years ago when our enrollment was as strong as it is today. So that concludes that report. Again, this one will require a board action, please, unless we have questions.
Have a motion? So moved.
Second.
Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, thank you. Staying on the topic of audits and reports.
On that one that we just looked at, just to point out, that's, was it $8 point some odd million?
About 8.2.
Revenue we don't collect in the form of these waivers. Minus the dual enrollment, we do get a reimbursement back on dual enrollment, but it's like 80 cents on the dollar.
Good point. Yeah, I dual enrollment I thought might come up as a question. We between what we bill the counties and then the dual enrollment state scholarship program, we've got back about $2.5 million of that four. So yeah, about $1.5 million that were not covered. So great point, Dr. Sure.
They ran out of some summer money, so we didn't even get what we normally would get for summer. So it's twice even more. Yeah, we ran out of money.
Okay, and now on to the first of two of our DSO audits. Again, I'll more kudos to my team down in finance. This is always good to report. We just took it to the Housing Corporation earlier this morning, this particular audit. It's also been presented at audit exit conferences with both board chairs a couple months ago, I believe. At any rate, this is a June 30th Housing Corporation audit, which was fantastic. They came in. It was done very quickly and efficiently, like it needs to be for this particular one. As you know, this one rolls up into our college AFR, the big report I just went over, and so the timing needs to be fast. So they come in about the third week of July, spend a few days here, do the rest remote, and we ask for that, just a quick turnaround time so that we can incorporate final audited numbers in a column on our AFR and be in compliance. Whereas we'll see the foundation next, but that's a different year end, right? That's a calendar year end, a little different, a little easier to incorporate that one. But this one falls along with the college June 30th, making it a bit more of a challenge just to get the information and get the audit complete and then include it in our report. But passed with flying colors, unmodified audit opinion, which is the best you can get. Closed the year with about a $730,000 positive to fund balance, revenue over expense. So it's living up to it to the pro forma and surpassing it. The debt service coverage ratio, I pointed out at the Housing Corporation meeting, the bank requires 1.10. Most standards ask for a 1.2 is kind of the going rate typically for a debt service coverage. We hit last year just about 1.5. I think it was technically 1.49. So we're more than covering our debt. It's performing and it's generating revenue, which is great. So again, this was here for informational, but great job to the all the Housing Corporation folks. Kristen's group kicks in, Charisse and Elijah. All across the board, but certainly putting together the finances is my group, with Tina leading the way, and Lisa Segunro and Roscoe Larson, big they come up big on this particular audit and do a lot of the heavy lifting. So thank you. And then not to leave out our other DSO, the foundation, Daytona State College Foundation, audit for the period December 31st, 2024. And I can just essentially press repeat button. Another just perfect audit, unmodified opinion. The auditors, and I wouldn't just say this because you don't get these kind of comments from auditors very often, but they literally say Daytona State College is one of our favorite clients. We come in, you're always ready. All the schedules, it makes our job so much easier, and it's just efficient. You do a great job. You answer all our questions. We're in and out, and that's the way we like it. And some of you that have been at the extra conferences probably have heard that from the auditors, James Moore and Company, and it's that's always a good feeling as well. So again, hats off to the entire team. Jim Soblosky kind of heads up this audit with his helper, Will. Great job. Kristen and her staff provide support. And another great audit. And here, there you go. So I'll conclude with that one. All right.
Great. Thank you. On to facilities. I think given the number we have here in facilities, if the board doesn't mind, I'm going to have them go over each one. Feel free to ask questions on each one as we go, but we'll just take one motion at the end, unless you want to pull one.
Good idea.
There. Second. All right. I second that motion. First two agenda items, attachment 17 and attachment 18, are both project closeouts. These are small, comparatively speaking, mechanical closeouts that you don't always see, but these are part of the federal funding that the college received back in 2019 for COVID, and so we're closing these out. We have to get them all closed out by December of 2026. So these are two that we completed over the summer, the replacement of the air handler in Building 300, replacement of the air handler in Building 4, air handlers, I should say, in Building 410, and then attachment 18, it was an upgrade of the lighting at the News Journal Center, specifically the theatrical lighting. Any questions on those two? These are both for Johnson Controls. We'll bring two others probably in January or February for the plant renovations. Those are the two big ones. We'll get approval on these. Okay, no questions? This is one that Marty mentioned in his observation. This is part two of the Gail Lemeron Athletic Center project. The gym portion of this building is approximately 30 years old. The gym floor we've been maintaining on an annual basis, which includes sanding and refinishing. And the surface of the wood floor has now become a state of needing repair. So there's only so much wood on that parquet floor, and then at that point you have to replace it. So this proposal is to replace the gym floor and then simultaneously the bleachers in the facility, which are the same age. Attachment 20 is the CMEC risk for the DeLand Building 1 and 8 renovation, which is the continuation of emergency services. If you'll recall, the college only received a 50% allocation from the state for this project, so we had to go back. This one was delayed. We expected this project to kick off in the fall, but only having 50%, we weren't able to do that. So the planning team went back with Perry McCall, and we did a full scope reduction. We took out around $1 million from this project to get the project more in line with the funding that we have available. So part of what Marty mentioned is we are using or recommending that we use part of our CONDS funds that would supplement the state funding to complete this project. So the total project cost is $6.68 million. And it came in at just over $8 million originally. So any questions on this, I'll be glad to answer.
And you meant CPPI, not Perry McCall.
What did I say?
Perry McCall.
Yes, correct the notes on that, please. Thank you. CPPI. back to the News Journal. So if you've been to the News Journal, you guys had the board meeting there. We have an elevator that's been offline for several months. It is in need of replacement. So this is a project to completely replace the elevator that's on the west side of the News Journal Center. We are actually upgrading it from a traction elevator from hydraulics. Hydraulics in that area are not working very well because the jack is actually underground, and that's the issue that we're having. It takes on water and corrodes, and this gets us out of that business. So elevator replacement, News Journal Center project. Staying at the News Journal Center. We have multiple air handlers at the News Journal Center that are the same age. Three of these happen to lie outside the building on the rooftop of the second floor. So over the years that the building has was under the city and then over at our control now. Those units are very well degraded from the salt air from the beach, as well as the duct work. So what we have proposed, we had several companies that bid. Some were no bid, some partially bid. We had three that fully bid. We are upgrading the units to outdoor packages to lengthen the time that we'll be able to service them. And we're also requested that they replace the ductwork with stainless steel ductwork. So that, too, should lengthen the time that we'll have to replace these in the future. JCI was the winning bid with this one, all in at $881,717.
Are they train units, the Johnson Control?
Johnson Control will put in York units. They're a York dealer. Okay. I like this. All right, this one's a little more complicated. So, as Marty mentioned, this is a request for our project priority list called the PPL. This is the requirement that we need to provide the state in order to use our CONDS funds. CONDS, if you're not aware, is the most restricted fund account that we have. So it requires multiple approvals. It has to go through the board for approval. The projects have to be previously approved by the board. They have to be on the plant survey. They have to go to the Department of Education once you approve it, and then to the chancellor or the department commissioner. They have to approve it, and then we come up with this project priority list that gives us what we can spend this money on. The intent right now, as I said, so what we did is we went back to our CIP submission that you guys had already approved and selected the top four projects. These are category A, which are the highest priority. So that is maintenance and repairs of facilities of or new facilities, project A. And then debt service are project or priority B. So we don't have any priority B. The intent right now with the money, the funding is to, again, supplement site one or project one, the DeLand Emergency Services Training Center, in the amount of $2.9 million, which gets us up to our 6.6. And there are attachments which actually outline the project priority list and the surveys, which have to be included in this submission. So no one's probably seen this, but any questions on that? So I submit all those for board recommendation.
So moved.
Second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to pass.
Thank you.
All right. Good afternoon. So we have, there's a note up here from Lynn to not touch the arm, so I'm on my toes. I don't know what else to do. Just don't touch the arm. Okay. All right. Okay. Sorry. When they started laughing at me over here, I was like, I'm sorry. I'm very, very vertically challenged. Been like this my whole life. So we have two items for you today from Academic Affairs, and the first is quite exciting. We are bringing forward the curriculum for our AS and Aviation program, and this was just approved by our curriculum committee yesterday, so we're very excited about that. The list of courses is there, as well as a description of our proposed site initially, which is to work in conjunction with Embry-Riddle for a location so that we can start this program in fall of 2026 versus in fall of 2027. So we're eager to get this started. There's a high demand for this type of technician and technologist available for our area. So if you have any questions about the site or the curriculum, I'm happy to entertain those. Otherwise, it's up for your vote for approval.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
All right, and then in attachment 25, we have a proposal for three new courses. One is for our art department for students for exhibition and career strategies for creative media. This is for students who would be interested in working in a gallery. It is something that is good for both AA students and our AS students, and so there should be wide acceptance of this. It will also work for transfer for students that want to go to UCF or other places for degree programs, for baccalaureate degree programs in the arts. And then we have two other courses. We are reintroducing American literature. This has now been split. We've been around for almost 250 years now, so it's been split into two parts. We have the early American literature that goes from colonial times to the Civil War, and then we have late American literature, which is the Civil War to the present. And we're excited to have those as potential offerings as well.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. So I'm here to present to you the college-wide building access control project for consideration today. The Daytona State College received fixed capital outlay funds from our legislative request for fiscal year 2025-2026 to expand building access control systems. Our original request, as you may recall, was $1.5 million. We received $700,000, but we'll take that. That's a good start. Also, the college will supplement with $50,000 in institutional funds to make it a total of $750,000. This expansion is a turnkey project using college-approved vendors. The initiative aims to create a more secure, efficient, and responsive campus environment. Some of the key features are external card access, building controls, and lockdown capabilities. Just to be clear, this is for external entryways, including roof. So there could be hatches and things, so we'll put sensors on there as well. Real-time door status monitoring for campus buildings. And that monitoring is huge for us because campus safety will have that capability to see if something has been opened up, for example, a roof hatch or some door may have been opened in the middle of the night, for example. And backing up, they have capabilities of locking down and opening up those same locks from external entries. Also, the requirements will include detailed drawings and door specifications for each updated building. The intent is to retrofit and integrate access controls into existing facilities. Obviously, new buildings going forward, we're looking to try and get those all upgraded from the start. Building priorities and completion will be based on available funding throughout the project. Right now, we're estimating, based on what we're seeing, probably going to be able to cover about 10 buildings. Questions?
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, constituent heads.
All righty. We're going to lead off today with our SGA president, Antonio Valle.
Good afternoon. Very excited to see all of you again. Very happy to tell you a little bit about what we've been up to over the last month or so. So going into it, to start off, we had the Hispanic Heritage Day. We hosted that inside of the L. Gale Lemerin Student Center. We gave out some nachos and some churros to students, and we had quite a few clubs stop by, and they presented different boards on different Hispanic countries across the world. Excuse me. And then we had a vote at the end where students could come by and leave a note saying which board they believed was the best, and the ESOL Falcons, which is the English speakers of other languages, won that event, and so they got a few extra points towards their club wars, and we'll be talking about club wars just a little bit more in a minute. And of course, as Dr. Labasso brought up earlier, we had homecoming. We had quite a few events happen. We helped run the s'mores and movie night, where students came by, got some s'mores, played some volleyball, and then they went to watch the new How to Train Your Dragon, the live-action one, and had popcorn with that as well. We had a great turnout, a wonderful time. following day, we went over to the Daytona Speedway. We had our heart walk to support the American Heart Association. We had the whole SGA there. Everyone had a wonderful time. And then finally, of course, well, not finally, we had two things, but the homecoming ball, that was also a wonderful time. You see Freddie and Franny both attended that, and they had an excellent time. And then finally, of course, was the homecoming tailgate party. We had lots of games, music, food, and the cornhole competition. Tons of students showed up, and it was a wonderful time, and I was very happy to attend. You can see me right up there in the back. And then over at our Flagler Palm Coast campus, we had our intramural field day. We helped give out some pizza there. We helped run the soccer and volleyball games. Students came by, had a wonderful time playing, very sportsmanlike. Just overall an excellent day for everyone there at that campus. And then we did have our Falcon Fall Fest. We helped at a few different things during this, but we specifically hosted a pumpkin painting setup where we had a bunch of tables where students could come by, paint their pumpkins, and then we had a Polaroid camera. They could get their picture taken. We gave them those Polaroids. Students call that vintage now, which is a little bit sad, but... And then we did also help at the Abilities Awareness Day event that was hosted by the Counseling Accessibility Services. We helped give out pizza, helped at a few different things, just made sure everything ran smoothly while students got to come by, learn about all the different resources that we have at the school. And then this is another part of Club Wars. We finalized our T-shirt design contest. These are just a few of the designs that got sent in. We have the ESOL Falcons up in the top left, Phi Theta Kappa top right, the Catholic Falcons Club down the bottom left, and the Huddle, which were the winners of the event. And as part of their prize for winning, they did get those shirts printed, and I see them wearing that at every single meeting. They are very proud of winning that event. And the intramural flag football games, we helped run those. We helped set up beforehand, clean up afterward. We helped the referee give out waters, that sort of thing. We had quite a few students come by. They all had a wonderful time. We had a little championship going on where green team and white team were really going head-to-head. They played their hearts out. I think the final score came out to like 80 and 72 or something like that. They were out there for a while, and they were really playing hard. So close games. They had a wonderful time. And then we did also have our National First Responders Day over at the ATC. We had a push-up contest, which he has our back to the camera, but that man in the gray shirt right there, he won that. He did 82 push-ups in a minute. It was very impressive to see. Besides that, we had pizza, and we gave out T-shirts to all the first responders there and the people who are training to become those first responders. We wanted to really support them and show our gratitude to them. And then trunk or treat. We initially wanted to do a Ghostbusters theme, but then we realized as we were decorating that it was looking a little bit more construction themed. So we changed our course a little bit there to a haunted construction site. That's actually what I used to wear when I worked in construction. I was a project manager for a company. So I just donned the old uniform. I got Freddie there to help me out. It was a wonderful time. We had lots of kids from the neighborhood showing up, getting candy, music playing, just overall excellent time. My only complaint is that we didn't win the contest for best decoration. But there's always next year. And then we had our International Cultural Festival where different clubs could bring in boards on any culture they chose. Towards the end, we were actually having to slim down what they could pick because we had so many clubs picking different areas that there was only a few places left that they could really choose from. We had everywhere from a few different places in Asia, all over Africa, South America, North America, Europe, you name it. There was a club there representing them. They also brought in some different candies and sodas from different parts of the world to represent their culture. We had little soda tasting places from a few different countries, some really unique sodas that I had never tried before. And then we also had our Native American Heritage Day event, which happened not even a week later. I was very proud of the different clubs because every club that came for the International Cultural Festival also came to this, bringing even more boards. So they had to pump out two boards in less than a week. So I was very impressed. We did end up bringing two. We want to do one on Native American cuisine and another one on dream catchers because we thought those were pretty fascinating and we couldn't decide on which one we wanted to do, so we settled on both. And then, of course, Veterans Day. That was a wonderful time. Veterans Services, as you can see there, hosted that. we went to that. They had a couple of fantastic speakers. We had our choir there singing our national anthem. Afterwards, there was a great deal of discussion, some great food. And then up at the top there, you can see we had our own smaller Veterans Day services or Veterans Day event, where we had students come by and write some thank you letters to some local veterans, and we brought those to the VA and some nursing homes and veteran services here on campus. I would like to add about this event that you can see it was a little bit cold out, but despite that, we ended up getting over 250 students to stop by and wait in line to write a thank you note to our local veterans, and I was very impressed by our Falcons here on campus. And then this is something that is new this year. We got to attend the grand debate hosted by the ISPS. And we, despite this being our first event, I was very happy to go. I managed to place third to represent us. And then besides that, Lucero Martinez is our speech and debate club president. Very impressed by her. She is 15 years old competing at this level. Very impressive individual. And then we do have our Thanksgiving Basket Brigade. We'll be there at the different events. You can see Thursday, Friday, and then there is also a Saturday event. When this was initially proposed to us, they just mentioned Thursday and Friday, and everyone in SJA was very excited about this. And they said, I think there's a Saturday event. Can we go and help at that one too? And so we ended up reaching out, and now we get to go help at that Saturday as well. Everyone in the SJA is very excited to get to volunteer at that. And then, of course, we have our winter celebration tree line ceremony coming up, as well as Freddy's Christmas Village. We're going to start decorating for that, getting out those holiday refreshments, really get into that holiday cheer. We're very excited for Christmas this year. And, of course, we're reaching the end of those club wars. I mentioned a few different times that they're really competing, trying to win this event. We have a few different clubs that are really neck and neck that are really trying to just beat each other by a couple points. In every single event, we have clubs out there trying to just get maybe an extra point or two by doing something to win because, as I said, we have quite a few tied for first place right now, so they're really trying. Thank you so much. It was excellent to see you all again. I'm very honored to get to serve the students here. And, of course, you know what I'll say. It's a great day to be a Falcon.
Thank you, Antonio. And for Administrator's Council, we have Rachel Dougherty.
Great job.
Thank you.
Great job. Let me not touch the thing. So I have physical copies of the cards to hand you all. So the Administrator's Council, one of our big projects every fall is the holiday cards, and we partner with the Volusia Council on Aging. And in that council, they take these signed holiday cards that we provide and give them to seniors and elderly in the community who don't have a sense of community and maybe already receive services like Meals on Wheels and things like that. So this year, we were able to work with these students in DIG 2000, all three sectors of that, and the School of Digital Media Production. Their chair, Brad Moody, was amazing and helpful and made this an assignment for them. So they actually, we chose three winners, and these cards were made and designed by the students, and we were able to print them here in-house. So we now have students who are published artists, so that's really fantastic. And so throughout the next couple weeks, I will be around having signing events and so just really looking forward to spreading that cheer. We met once this November. We were able to start working on our committee bylaws, and then we're also going to look forward to supporting another organization in the spring semester and probably working with our School of Adult Education students to help support them. So thank you for your time, and I'll pass you out your very own cards.
Cards are great. Yeah.
Very nice. They're beautiful.
Thank you.
When they're printed, they're amazing.
Thank you. Beautiful.
All righty, and for career and professional employees, we have John Penny.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. We're excited that we have our holiday basket raffles coming up at the open house again this year. Looks like we're going to have four baskets to raffle off. I'm excited to see how that goes this time. And we've sent out the application to Student Life for our student awards. Hopefully be getting the applications for that soon to sort through. It's always exciting to see the responses we get back from the students for that. And our next meeting is Monday. We've had every other month meetings now, so we've had a gap there. And it's good to talk to you again. Thank you. Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. And Dr. Karen Braley for Faculty Senate.
I probably don't need the microphone because I have that teacher voice going on. So Faculty Senate has met twice. Our first meeting was focused around communication with students and helping our students find resources. And we did that by having presentations from TRIO. I believe you heard from them earlier today, so you're aware of the wonderful opportunities they provide. And we also had a presentation about Target X, which is a way that we can reach out to communicate with students who might need a little encouragement or to offer kudos, because it's also important to reach out to reinforce positive efforts. We have also started the process of reviewing applications for the Faculty Senate Student Award Scholarship that we give out usually during convocation. So we have begun our process to hopefully do it on time. And our second meeting, Dr. Long attended. One of the things I love about Daytona State College is the fact that faculty and administration have such a good rapport. And I just love having an administrator come and answer faculty questions so that everyone is aware of that great relationship that really does exist. I think that's definitely something special about Daytona State College, without a doubt, is the approachability of our administrators. And the final thing we're working on is improving our mentoring of each other. As many of us are getting older daily, and retirement is coming, we have new faculty coming in, and how can we best help them get started as a Falcon? And that is something we've been working on. That concludes my report, and I do just want to say thank you for the time, and I hope everybody has a happy and healthy end to 2025. I will see you in 2026.
Wow. Thank you, Karen.
Great, thank you.
That concludes constituents. And I did forget to mention, tomorrow the women's game is at 11. The men's game's at 1, and it's on ESPN Plus. So if you have ESPN Plus, you know, Kelly, while you're at work, you can just pop open your phone.
I'll go over great.
You know, Nelly,
just don't cheer too loud right in the middle of a meeting.
Yeah. But so yeah, ESPN is on campus right now because they have to transfer from the NJCAA office that was filming to the ESPN. So
excellent, great, thank you. I'm sure we're probably all going to say some of the same things, but I'll start off by saying them anyway. So let me start with Amy. You know, if you think about the past, at least, I don't know how many years I've been on the board now, 8 years or so, and the past 12 or so that she's been here, just some amazing challenges and victories. You think about the pandemic, you think about accreditation, you think about the number of new degree programs, you think about changing state and federal legislation that you know, caused anxiety, you think about changing accreditors once you've finished accreditation. You know, the list could just go on and on. And I guess from the first time that I met Amy, you could tell from the very beginning that she was incredibly competent, which is kind of the first, you know, skill set you want to see in anybody in that role. But she was also just incredibly calm, like that, you know, no matter what you threw at her or the team, she just smiled and worked her way through it. And, you know, and then you add to that, she's just a great person to work with. So we will truly miss you and understand why you're leaving, but thanks for all you've done for the college and the community. I have to admit, when I saw the agenda for today, I thought to myself, you know, what is Tom thinking not putting a tour of a facility in the workshop? Because the tours of the facilities are always so impressive and you get to see so many neat things. But, you know, I was wrong, as I am many times, because what an amazing workshop today. Just the stories we heard, the impact of those different programs. So kudos again. I don't know if anybody's still here from those teams, but kudos to those teams. Amazing stories and amazing, just testament to the mission of the college and what it does to change people's lives and their families and the community. So thanks for that. Congratulations to athletics. I won't ask you to keep us informed because I know you will. We appreciate that. We truly do. Great to know what's going on. Always pay attention to the news releases, and I saw that our cyber programs recently got some great recognition, so kudos to anybody involved in those programs. That's a field and an industry that's going to get more important every day for the rest of our lives because of the impact in just so many areas. But it was nice to see that. And to my fellow board members, thanks for making the meeting. 100% attendance, always nice to see. And it's just always great to be with you guys. So, and with that, I'll pass it over to Bob.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We will repeat a lot of the same remarks, but the first comment on the workshop, I just, it's so outstanding. When you look at our mission, you want to have access to educational programs that transform student lives and communities we serve. I don't think there was any better example than what was represented in the programs in our workshop, and it really is just that generational change. And wow, I'll tell you what, put the box of Kleenex on the table for those testimonials from students. It's just really, it's very, very rewarding to see that kind of program and see what a difference it makes at this institution. The Boots and Bling, it's the best event in the area, period. And so Kristen, Costa, everybody that was involved in that, and especially to our honorees, Karen and Dr. Tom Labasso, you couldn't have had a better honorees for the event, and it sure packed the house and, you know, was just a great success. And so always great to be there, and, you know, the food is just, I mean, come on. You can't beat it anywhere. It's fantastic. I also want to echo the comments about Amy Locklear. You know, there's a I visit a lot of national parks, if you don't know. I'm at 60 of 63. And, you know, there's an old hiker's adage that says, leave no trace. It's sort of the recommendation that you leave no trace. Well, Amy Locklear, her motto is exactly the opposite. And she has left it better than she found it, which is kind of a campsite code. And so thinking about all your years here and what you've contributed, and know that you go with our thanks and appreciation for all that you've done, and you are leaving this a much better place for having been here. So thank you. And last of all, next week is Thanksgiving, and uniquely American holiday, and you know, I am so thankful for this college, for its leadership, for all the good things and the blessings that are provided to the students, faculty, and staff here. And have a happy Thanksgiving, and God bless.
Kelly?
Well, I am going to say some of the same things. The federal grants program today was really, really impressive. Just everyone was so prepared. You know, the thing that no one was really complaining about is, like, writing the grant is very complicated. And you have to actually execute on the program, and then you have to report really good, accurate data. And they were all doing it at the highest level. So I don't know who's still here, but compliments to all the different phases and, of course, the student success. A couple of them being at Halifax didn't hurt either. Yeah. I want to compliment all of you, too, for being here and being really stepping up in your departments and in the college and getting to know each other and being kind of leaders at the college. Congratulations. Go Falcons for all the soccer games. I've gotten a lot of calls from Tom in the last week, and I always think they're going to be emergency crisis, and then it's usually about soccer. So it's always a delight. Of course, Boots and Bling. Same thing. I just echo. It was great. It's always just fun. The food, the atmosphere, the collegiality. And, of course, I'm ending also on Amy. You know, I was sitting here today, and I missed the last board meeting, and I thought, gosh, just sitting here, I'm reminded what a special place this is and what a special person you are and how you have contributed so much. and wish you all the best in the world. But thank you for your service. That's all.
Well, so much today. And first off, Randy, you mentioned the press releases that we get. And another one that we just got was Daytona State named among the best college values in the U.S., ranked third in Florida, ranked fourth in the South, and ranked sixth in the nation. That's pretty incredible. And you think about education, I think all of us in this room look at it this way, but I want to restate it, and that is the power of education and how it can transform people's lives and change people from deficits from an economic standpoint to prosperity in generations to come. And Bob, thank you for bringing that back up, because that generational impact is really incredible. And Fortune, Autumn, and Melissa, awesome. Cannot say enough about the way they presented everything. Also, want to recognize Tom and Karen one more time, because that recognition was so well deserved, Tom.
Thank you.
And Karen especially. But,
more so, yes,
more so. But no, seriously, you all are truly a team. And what you talk about coming, what makes you really come to work every day, each and every day, it shows. And it shows in the team here, too. So the DSC Housing Corp had a board meeting today, and our housing rates, I think we're on the low end of the range in terms of where our increases are going, but it just continues to be a great resource. And as we decided at the board meeting today, we said that Tom needs to thank the DSC Housing Board, because that's what's allowed us to recruit these exceptional soccer players that are now on the field. So, but the finance department, Marty and the team, another great job. And Amy, I think I might be mistaken, but you came on board about 6 months to a year before I joined the board in 2014. And hard to believe how much time has flown by. But from me getting on my soapbox about the cost of books, the work that you and your team did or have done around that topic over the last 12 years, and I'm sure it will continue, but everything else that these folks have said about you, just ditto, ditto, ditto. And thank you so much for being such a great team member, leader, and also inspiration to a lot of people around this room, so and beyond this room. And finally, happy Thanksgiving to everybody, and to all, a good day.
Today's workshop was really, it was so interesting, and to see the success rates, it kind of really just brings it home, like that's what it's all about. But the students who presented were so impressive. And when you hear those stories, it's hard, you know, not to want to celebrate that. It's just really what they do and the impact on their lives. It's really cool to see. So I appreciate having that opportunity. I was thinking, too, like, what's Tom thinking? Like, why aren't we going to see another awesome building? But that was really great. And the LEAD program, what wonderful things you guys are doing. So thank you all for your contributions. Annual financial report was riveting and amazing. So thank you, and congratulations on the, you know, on the two audits. That was really cool and really impressive as always. Amy, I'm happy for you, but I'm not happy for us. And it just feels, you know, a little less bright. And, you know, what Bob was saying about, you know, don't leave your trace. I think, you know, your trace will be felt for decades and decades to come, and just thank you for everything you've done. You are you're amazing at what you do, and you set an amazing example for everyone around you. So really grateful for you this Thanksgiving season. And I hadn't been to Boots and Bling in a few years. That was an amazing event. So that was so much fun, and the food was. Thanks for the calamari recommendation. That was just perfect.
Andrew specifically was happy with that.
He actually stopped mid-sentence and ran over to the calamari, and he didn't bring any for me, so that was disappointing. But yes, it was fantastic, and congratulations again to you and Karen, and happy Thanksgiving.
I'll end with one other thing. Randy probably wouldn't want me to bring it up, but I think he ran out because he was so inspired by the financials.
Totally.
He wanted to go back and read it again.
Totally.
He didn't want us to know.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Once again, thanks to everyone around the room for all you guys do day in, day out. You make this a great college, and you make it easy for us. So thank you, and happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next time.
Go Falcons.
Awesome. Go Falcons.